නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස අන්ධ භූතෝ අයං ලෝකෝ තනුකෙත් විපස්සති සකුන්තෝ ජාල මුත්තෝව අපෝ සග්ගාය ගච්ඡති. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to talk in Pali. So first of all, I would like to thank Saile Susila for inviting me to give you a Dhamma talk today. Friends, before I come to the gathas that I just uttered, I like to tell you the story behind this gatha. This is from the Dhammapada. I think you must be familiar with it. The Dhammapada, this is the 174th gatha in the Dhammapada. I'll explain the gatha to you later. Now let us look at the story behind the gatha. This happened during the Buddha's time, when Buddha was living in Jetavana. And there is a, or I don't know whether it's named now, at that time, a city called Alavi. And there was a monastery called Aggalava. It was a very beautiful monastery. And Buddha used to go there, once in a way, and stay there. So this particular day, Buddha went there and gave a sermon. And the weaver's daughter, you know, a weaver, one who weaves cloth, a weaver's daughter, she was only 16 years old. And she was also in the audience, you know, listening to the Dhamma. The others didn't understand Buddha's sermon, but she understood. And this weaver's daughter is the heroine of this story. So let us see now, what was the Buddha's sermon about? The Buddha's sermon was on Marana Sati. Marana means death. Sati means mindfulness. And Buddha said that life is uncertain, but death is certain. And therefore, we should live always, whatever we are doing, thinking of this particular thing that we have got along with our birth. That is death. That is the gift that we have got. You see, along with birth, we have all got this also. So, we cannot forget it, though we try to forget it. So, the Buddha said, we all have to face death one day. And therefore, think about it. That is called Marana Sati. Marana is death. Sati means mindfulness. And that is the only way to see the true nature of life. When we look at death in the face, then we can see three things: impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and no self. So, to understand these three, we should look at death. So, Buddha gave a sermon and went back. Now this girl thought, I must practice this. Life is uncertain, death is certain. Now from that day onwards, she started practicing this Marana Sati, or, you know, about death. 3 years went by, and after 3 years, you know, every day Buddha sits in meditation, and when he gets up from meditation, he looks at the world to see to whom he could help. See? So that day when he got up and looked at the world, he saw this girl. He knew that this girl had not long to live. She was only 19 years now. But she had not long to live. So the Buddha went again to this monastery, Aggalava, in the Alavi city. Now he went there specially for this girl's, spiritual advance or development. So when he went there, naturally, lots of people come and then, gather around him. So that day also, when he was seated there, many people came and sat there. But Buddha did not give a sermon. He was also waiting. Now he was waiting for this girl to come. See the compassion of this Buddha, of the Buddha. So that day, her father, who is a weaver, he asked her to wind some spools of thread. And she did that, and she was going to give the spools to her father. On her way, she passed this monastery. She saw these people gathered, and then she went and looked. She saw the Buddha. And she stood on the fringe of the crowd, you know. And then Buddha looked straight at her. And when he looked straight at her, she dropped the basket and came up to him, paid him respect, and then sat on her side. The Buddha asked her 4 questions. What are the 4 questions and how did she answer them? Now these are the 4 questions. Where have you come from? She said, I don't know. The next question, where are you going? I don't know. Don't you know? Yes, I know. Then the next question, do you know? I don't know. Now the people who were gathered there got really upset. They thought that this girl, this little girl, you know, she was a young girl at that time, 19 years, she's playing with the Buddha. She's trying to tease him, to be funny, you know. And then they got upset. Then the Buddha silenced the people and said, now explain what you said just now. Explain your answers. And she said, Venerable Sir, you know that I am coming from home. That was not your question. What you asked me was, what karmic, cause brought me to this world? Why, how did I come here? What is my previous birth? From where did I come here? And I don't know that. The next question was, where are you going? You know that I am going to my father with the spools of thread. That was not your question. You asked me, where will you go when you die? And I don't know that. Then you asked me, don't you know? That was, don't you know that you are going to die? That you will die one day? And I know that. So I said, yes, I know. And the last question was, do you know? That was, you asked me whether I know when I will die. I don't know that. So I said, I don't know. And the Buddha said, Sadhu, 3 times. And then he gave a sermon. At the end of the sermon, this girl attained sotapanna or stream entry. And that was why Buddha went there. You know, knowing that this girl would attain sotapanna or stream entry. Now, this girl, after listening to the Buddha, paid her respects to the Buddha, and then she went to her father. The father, waiting for, you know, he had to wait a long time for the daughter, had fallen asleep on the seat. And he suddenly got up when she went. And his sudden action made the shuttle to jump out. You know, the reverse shuttle. And that went and struck the girl. In some books it says in the eye, in some books it says in the heart, but we don't know. Anyway, she fell down dead. And Buddha, that is why, knowing that she would die that day, that is why Buddha went there, out of compassion for her. Now, this girl, when she died, she had become a sotapanna. So, her death was nothing much to her, because she went and got her rebirth in Tusita Devaloka. But the father, he was stricken with sorrow, and he left the, you know, weaver shed, left everything and ran to the Buddha and told him, "Venerable sir, this is what happened." Then Buddha said, "That is the way with this world, you know. Death is something that nobody can escape." And then he asked for ordination, and he was ordained by the Buddha, and after striving for some time, he became an arahant. Now let us look at the gatha that I said. Now, this gatha was uttered by the Buddha at that time when he went and told him about his daughter's death. Andabhuto ayam loko. What it means is, this world is blind. The world is blind means the people in this world are blind. What do you mean by blind? They don't see the truth. You see? They don't see the truth. The truth of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and no self. They don't see it. They see everything as being permanent, happy, and all belonging to us. You see? So Buddha said, Andabhuto ayam loko. The world, the people in this world are blind. Tanuketta vipassati. Few are those who clearly see. Very few see clearly. Just like, you know, he gave a simile now. Sakunto jalamuttova. That is, you know, Sakunto means birds. Now, a hunter of birds will take his net, you know, not now, but at that time, that's how they hunted the birds. And where the birds would, you know, settle in a tree or somewhere, he would lay his net and collect the birds and then go. See? So very few of those birds would escape this net. In the same way, appo saggaya gacchati, few of the human beings go to a blissful state. Most of the human beings that are in this world go to a woeful state because they live such bad lives. So now, that is the story behind this, you know, the gatha that I said. Now, I would like to tell you of two things. That was my idea in choosing this gatha and the story. Those two things are, one is about death, the other is about stream entry. Do you like it? So, the Buddha said, In this world, most people are running up and down on this side of the shore. I'm not going to tell you the gatha because it will confuse you. So, now, what he means is that he compares this sansara. You know, sansara is this, you know, rolling of birth, death, birth, death. That is our sansara. See? So, he called this sansara a river. And if it is a river, there are two banks. This bank and the other bank. Now, people in this world are running up and down on this side of the bank. You see, on this side of the shore, they do not try to cross over to the other side. You know that other simile that he gives of the raft? I'm sure you'd have all heard of it. About the raft? No?
Yes.
Buddha says that this Dhamma is the raft. You see? You know what a raft is, isn't that so? You take pieces of logs and tie it up and then to go across the water. Now, the raft is the Dhamma. So, when you go across, you see, you don't need the raft anymore. You don't need the Dhamma even. Once you have crossed to the other side, that is when you have gone, you know, beyond sansara, that is when you have attained arahantship, you don't need Dhamma even, because you have done what had to be done in this world. So, anyway, now let us look at this idea of death. Now, most people are scared of death. They don't want to think about it. I was just now reading a book written by an American woman, and she says that Americans, or Westerners, I think, not, I shouldn't label them Americans, Westerners especially do not like to think of death. I don't know whether it is true. Is it true? Anyway, even a dead body, they beautify. That's what she had said. To look like as if she's, you know, going to a party. She or he, I don't know, whatever it is, a corpse. So, how can we overcome this fear? Fear of death. We don't have to be afraid. You know, because it is something that we have brought with us as we came into this world. When we came with this, you see, death also. Because in sansara, now some people don't believe in rebirth, but it is something that we can think about, you know. Even Christianity, they say there is no other birth, this is the last birth. Only here you don't get, you know, a rebirth. But when you think of their ultimate, you know, end, also, isn't there a birth? Because, you see, they are either born in heaven or in hell. So, isn't that a rebirth from here when you go to see? So, there is a rebirth even there. But what we say is that there is a rebirth not only this time, but we have gone in sansara for a long, long time. And that is how we have come here, you see, to this world. Now, I was reading about, I don't know whether I have time. I was reading about a girl who had been abducted by a sex offender. When she was 11 years, I think you might have come across that story. And now she has come out after 18 years of suffering and torture. Now, A girl of 11 years couldn't have done anything wrong in this world, could she? To be abducted like that, to be kidnapped and then, you know, tortured and, you know, you can just imagine what she would have gone through. Now, how did that happen? Why? It's karma, isn't it? Some kind of karma that she has done in the past that has surfaced and that has resulted in her, you know, all that torture and that life that she led there. And that was over after 18 years. And that is why she has come out. Can you see that? So that is why this rebirth, when you think of it, it gives us certain clues to our own predicament, our own, you know, lives, certain things that we have come across in life, which we cannot answer, which we cannot see. But when we think of the past karma, rebirth, then we can see, this is how it has happened. I have done, you know, what I have done comes back to me in some form. Of course, there are many ways of, you know, getting over them. By doing good. By doing good now, in this birth. Now that we have a human birth. And with a good mind and a good body, we can do a lot of things. See? Money is not essential. So anyway, we have innumerable times gone through this birth and death and suffered accordingly, enough to be weary of life, but we are not weary. Why? Because we don't remember. We don't remember even what happened yesterday, you see. So how can we remember what happened in our past births? Now, when we think of rebirth, there are two benefits that we can think of. One is what I have just said, that we have faced it many times and therefore we don't have to be scared about it. We have faced it so many times, so why be scared? Then the second one is the more important one. That is, we will be motivated to find a way out of this. See, so that is why you are all here, to find a way out of this suffering, to get out of samsara. How can we get out of samsara? This is the way. So, life is like an onion, you know. When you peel the onion, what happens? We start crying. So, the more we peel, the more we cry. So, life is also like that. It is not the length of time that we live or how long we live that matters or that counts, but the way we live or how we live. It's the quality of life that matters, not the number of years that we live. So, meditation on death can have many benefits. Now let us see what the benefits are. It is not necessary to be morose and frightened or morbid or depressed when we think of death. It's not necessary. Instead, what can we do? We can be able to live more wisely than we have lived before. We can be more compassionate, more, you know, outgoing, do things for others, and that is how we could compensate for any selfish life that we have led earlier. So, that is one benefit that we can get by thinking of death. We can also be more tolerant. about other people's, you know, little faults. Be more patient, kind and gentle. See? And when we are like this, we become less attached to our material possessions. Because we don't know when we are going to leave them and go. You know, there was one princess who inherited a lot of wealth. And she thought, my parents did not take this wealth. Their parents did not take this wealth. But I am going to take this wealth. You see, so how did she take the wealth? She started doing good things with the wealth. Giving the needy, giving the, you know, ascetics and monastics and this one and that one. And doing all kinds of good things with the wealth. And in the end, when she died, she took all the wealth and went. So, that is what she did. So that we become less attached to our worldly possessions. Otherwise, we become attached, you know. All these worldly possessions are also conditioned. And all conditioned things are going to end when the conditions end. See? So, we become less attached and also we learn to share our things with others. And also enjoy the sharing. We can share but not be happy about it. But if we can enjoy the sharing, then that sharing is beautiful, isn't it? And meaningful. You must have heard of certain wealthy people like Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, Aristotle Onassis. Now, they were very wealthy, isn't that so? Now, how did they die? Now, Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley died of drugs in the end. And Aristotle Onassis, did he take his wealth away? How did he, you know, it is always a case of rags to riches and riches to emptiness. That is what happens to people when they hoard and collect. Now when I say this, you might think we shouldn't be wealthy, we should not. No. Buddha has never asked people not to be wealthy, not to collect, not to do earn money. Buddha has said, when you are young, when you are able, you must do, you know, you must work and earn. And, you know, get enough wealth for you and your family and to share with others. That is what Buddha said. But that earning should be righteous and it should not harm yourself or others. The way you collect your wealth should be such that it is so righteous that nobody can say anything to you, you know, so that when you have your wealth, you can share it with others joyfully. Now that is how you can have a real spiritual balance in your life between what you earn and what you spend and the way you earn. Now there is another very important word. Now that word I am really going to use. Now that word I think you might have heard. It is called Sangvega. Have you heard that word before? Sangvega. Now, Sangvega is what, you see, can result when you contemplate death. When you think of death, you can get Sangvega. What is Sangvega? it is a sense of urgency. Can you see how important it is? It is a sense of urgency. Sense of urgency, that is the energy that you get, and that can change you to do all the good that you can before you die. Before we die, we can do whatever good we can. So that Sangvega is very, very essential in life. That is something that we can all relate to. See? Then there is another way of looking at death. That is this. We experience this death from moment to moment. Every moment we are dying. Every moment that we take in, you know, when we take with the intake of the breath, we live. With the out breath, we die. See? So, in, out, we are every moment dying and living again. If we are not able to breathe in, that means death, isn't it? Total death. So, that is not the only way of, explaining it. Consciousness. Now, when you think of your consciousness, what about that? It changes so much, you see. Your consciousness. It changes. If you think of 1 second, in 1 second you get so many thoughts and ideas, and they have all gone away. So, it is a case of dying, being born and dying, birth and death, birth and death, in consciousness. Also, when you think of the body, the bodily phenomena that we call the body, that is also dying. I think you might have heard of the fact that every cell in our body has changed, so that we are a different person every 7 years. So you see, how many times we would have changed. To see this change, we have to look at our pictures from as a small baby up to now. If we look, then we will see how much we have changed. And all this change we never saw, but it has taken place. So you see, that is birth and death. Now that kind of birth is called Kanika Marana. Kanika Marana. Kanika Marana means momentary death. Kanika means moment. Shana. Kanika. See? So, that is momentary death. Now, let us look at a better topic, that is stream entry. So, now, when we think of this stream entry or stream entrant or sotapanna, those are the two things that we talked about even in this story. In the Nakasika Sutta of the Samyutta Nikaya, Buddha says or talks about he gives a very interesting simile. He takes a little bit of earth onto his nail and holds it up. You know, nakasika means nail. Naka means nail. So, when he takes this up and then he shows the monks and say, ask monks, do you think this little bit of earth on my nail is greater? Or all this earth, all the soil on this earth is greater? So, naturally the monks say, the soil on the earth is greater. Then the Buddha says, monks, know that the suffering that is destroyed by a sotapanna or stream entrant. You see, one who has entered the stream, one who has become a stream entrant, one who has attained sotapanna. You know, there are four stages to Nibbana. Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami and Arahant. That is, stream entry. Stream entrant, then...
Once
returner, non-returner, and
Arahant.
Those are the four stages. So this is the stage, the stream entrant. So Buddha says that is the first stage. If you become a stream entrant, that is, if you become a sotapanna, you have destroyed so much of your suffering. That is, he compares, he says, 100th part, 1,000th, 1 of 10,000. That is what is left. You see? 1 upon 10,000. That is left of the suffering. So, for different people, it will be different. For some people, it might be 1 upon 1,000. For some people, it might be 1 upon 100. But whatever it is, you have destroyed so much of your suffering by becoming a sotapanna that what is left is trifling, because you will not be born more than 7 times after that. The maximum that you could be born is 7 times. You might not be born so many times. You know, you may be born again only once, but the maximum is 7 times. Now, a stream entrant cuts off the first 3 fetters. You know, there are 10 fetters. Out of those 10 fetters, a stream entrant cuts off 3 fetters. What are the 3 fetters? Identity view, which is called Sakkaya Ditti. Adherence to rules and observances, that is called Silabbata Paramasa. And the third is doubt, that is Vichikicca. Those three are the three things that Sotapanna destroys. So a Sotapanna will never be born in a lower realm. Now, isn't that a great thing? Because we don't know where we would go. A lower realm means there are 4 realms, according to Buddhist cosmology. 4 realms, that is, the 4 apayas. One is the hell, one is the animal world, which we can see. The other is the Peta world, that is, Peta means the hungry ghosts. And the 4th is Asura, or the demons. Those are the 4 lower worlds. So, a Sotapanna will never be born in any of those lower worlds. And the most important thing is that a Sotapanna is definitely headed for enlightenment. You see? Definite that such a person, he or she, would be enlightened. There is no backing out. Definitely enlightened. Within those 7 births, if at all, that person goes to 7. Then, these are some of the qualities that Sotapanna will have. Unwavering confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Now, as it is, we might wonder, was Buddha actually enlightened? This Dhamma, is it true? Were the Arahants who lived at that time actually Arahants? You know, that kind of doubt. But once a person becomes a Sotapanna, that person will never have doubts. All doubts will be gone. and doubts about the four noble truths are also gone. That person will understand, realize or experience the four noble truths. You know the four noble truths, isn't that so? So, and also, the five precepts that you normally take as lay people, you know, not killing, not stealing, not having sexual misconduct, not lying, not having intoxicants, those five sins or, you know, bad behavior, such a person will definitely, you know, rule out, not do at all. And a Sotapanna will have the four foundations of mindfulness, definitely. See, four foundations of mindfulness that person will have. And also, such a person will look for Kalyana Mittas. Look for means that person will not that that person will, you know, not associate with lower people. If there is any help that that person could give, they would give. But normally, such a person would look for some, you know, Kalyana Mittas, that is, people who are higher than them or at least equal to them. See, so Kalyana Mitta, that is, true friends. And such a person will possess the eight factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. Can you tell me the Noble Eightfold Path? First one is?
Right view.
Right view, very good. Right view, that is called Sammaditti. Right view. What's the second one?
Right intention.
Yes, right thought. Yes, Samma Sankappa. Then? Next one is?
Speech.
Right. Yes, right speech. Samma Vacha. Yeah.
Right
livelihood. Right action. Then right livelihood. If you go according to order, but you know, you can say it in any way. Then?
Right effort.
That is Vayama. Right effort. Then? Right mindfulness, sati, and concentration, right samadhi, isn't that so? Those are the eight factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. And such a person, a Sotapanna, will have those eight. And such a person will know what's fit for attention and what is not fit for attention. What should be cultivated and what should not be cultivated. And such a person will not get, you see, will not get what is unwished for, what is undesired, what is disagreeable. They will diminish such things. On the other hand, such a person will get what is wished for, what is desired, and what is agreeable will increase. So don't you like to have those things? Yes. So we should all try to attain Sotapanna in this life itself. And that should be our aim in life. At least that, of course it's good if you can become Arahants. But to become a Sotapanna is also something very, very great and something that we should all wish for and try to attain in this life itself. Not impossible. After all, it's a good life that we live. So, I think I have come to the end of what I want to talk about. And may I wish especially Saile, Susila and all of us, and also the beings that we can see and the beings that we cannot see, the seen and the unseen, all May all of us, all these beings, attain Nibbana, and you know, attaining the first, that is Sotapanna, is attaining Nibbana. That is the first glimpse of Nibbana. May we all attain Nibbana in this life itself. Now, if you have any questions, there is time. So, if you have any questions, let us... discuss them.